the high desert and the great American Southwest. I'd like to bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's time zones. Each and every one covered like a blanket by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. My honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. We will first look at the world news in a moment. Bleak as it normally is. Speaking of strange, tonight here in the desert, oh, by the way, tonight's webcam photograph is indeed of our desert. We live out here in serious, serious desert. Take a look. A photograph was taken. That's Ramona, of course. That's my car with Ramona on the far side and our real desert in the background. It was taken between Baker, California, and here, just a few miles away, actually. I told you, we live out here in serious desert. That's where all this stuff happens. Just over the hill there, Area 51. So let's look quickly at world news. Laura Bush waded into the middle of Middle East tensions on Sunday during a chaotic visit to sacred religious sites where crowds and hecklers grew so rowdy that armed guards had to be called in to restrain them. America's First Lady said what she witnessed showed that passions are running high among Palestinians and Israelis. The United States, she said, will do what we can in this process, she said, urging both sides to work for peace and probably thinking about getting back on the airplane. This story. The missing girl, there's an 8-year-old found alive. An 8-year-old girl who had been sexually assaulted and then buried under rocks in a trash bin was found alive Sunday by an officer searching a landfill, said authorities. A teenager charged with attempted murder. The girl had minor injuries, was taken to a hospital. Hospital officials would not comment on her condition. You know, one day something is going to come down and shake this world like it's never been shaken before. And the people who do this kind of thing are going to be lowered into J.C.'s pit of boiling sewage. U.S. airstrikes and ground troops killed 12 insurgents who had attacked a coalition patrol in eastern Afghanistan's border region in the latest wave of fighting with Taliban-led rebels. According to the U.S. military Sunday, the U.S. Called for Afghan human rights investigators to be allowed into Bagram, the main U.S. base in Afghanistan, after New York Times reported poorly trained U.S. soldiers there had repeatedly abused prisoners. The next story, and tonight's guest, I mean, baby, you talk about synchronicity. As you know, tonight's guest, Dr. Roger Lear, is a heavyweight. And when you listen to him, he's a surgeon, he's a podiatrist, and he's been studying UFOs, particularly down in Brazil, for quite some time. And the next story could not be more synchronous had we tried. And I assure you, it had nothing to do with us, but it's leading UFO news all around the world tonight, and we'll get to it in a moment. It is with some, anticipatory trepidation that I look forward to open lines coming up shortly. We are under a full moon. It is beautiful out there. Here in the desert, it's just unimaginably beautiful. Outside temperature about 78 degrees right now. Humidity probably down in the teens. Low teens at that, and just spectacular in the desert. Now, I note that Robert, looking at my webcam photograph this evening. Robert from Port Orchard, Washington says, "Hey, Art, your beautiful wife is hiding behind a sweet ride. I'd love to customize the paint job for you. 30 years experience and owner of Integrity Auto Body. Your wife, however, needs no work at all." Robert. Robert, I wouldn't let you touch either one. That thing is cherry. I keep that thing in the garage most of the time. That we took a ride down to L.A. in that thing, and or did we fly? It was fun. I mean, every now and then, though we drive most of the time around in our little Geo Metros putting around, every now and then you've got to get out there while we still have the gas and, you know, find out what speed feels like, right? And the picture you see there, that kind of area affords you that opportunity. Take your chances with the highway patrol. They hate it. All right, so there is synchronicity this night in what we're going to talk about, and the fact that we're having Dr. Lear on, because, as you know, he has specialized, investigated as no other, the big cases in Brazil, and there have been a bunch of them, and look at this. Breaking news, it'll be number one on Whitley Strieber's hit list on his website, unknowncountry.com, but it's breaking now everywhere. I'm getting, I don't know, zillions of email. The headline is Major UFO Breakthrough in Brazil. The nation of Brazil. The nation is going to relax its policy of UFO secrecy. It is, then, first among a number of countries known to be considering the idea of completely abandoning the secrecy mandate that's been in place now worldwide since the phenomena first began to be publicly known 50 years ago. A.J. Gravard of the Brazilian Committee of UFO Researchers reports that a number of important files have just been released, including a folder containing documents from 1977 that covered dozens of cases of UFOs in the Amazon, with over 100 pictures made during Operation Saucer, an official Brazilian military investigation that was carried out between September and December of 1977. This change in policy means that one of the countries with the most extensive amount of UFO activity is now going to share its previously secret knowledge with everybody. So that, honestly, is big news. You can read about it at unknowncountry.com. I'm sure we'll get a link up on coasttocoastam.com if we don't already have one. Big breaking story. Brazil is going to end the secrecy, and they're a big country to do so. Now, as you know, Mexico has been leaning toward relaxing it, but Brazil, surprisingly, I might add, took the step ahead of Mexico. Therefore, tonight's guest is very, very relevant, Dr. Lear, who investigated and will tell you about what he investigated down in Brazil. What an auspicious time for the government there to be dropping all the secrecy. And I called Dr. Lear earlier tonight. I said, hey, have you heard the news? And I read it to him, and he said, you know, that's not supposed to be out. That was supposed to be a secret. And I don't think he was going to even tell us about it tonight. So he was kind of shocked the press had somehow gotten hold of this. So that'll be, I don't know, definitely synchronistic and headline-worthy tonight. Reports that the Bush administration plans to adopt a new policy that would more explicitly spell out the military's commitment to placing offensive and defensive weapons in space are sparking an increased debate. Proponents say such weapons are needed to protect U.S. homeland and satellites in space, our satellites, that provide such crucial military and civilian services as targeting for weapons, global positioning data, and, of course, satellite and radio TV. Satellite TV and radio, that would be. They also point out that space has been militarized for decades and say today's military would be instantly brought to its knees if an enemy could interfere with or destroy satellites used by the Pentagon. So there you have it. America would be brought to its knees if those satellites could be killed. So now, let's ask ourselves again, as we did last night, do you think the U.S. has already militarized space? How many of you out there, raise your hands. Do you really think we're leaving those satellites, those all-important satellites that if killed would bring us to our knees? Are we leaving them unprotected? I don't think so. So I think we've already got plenty of weapons in space. Some people think we have them here on the ground. The headline is South Natoma's home covered with sheet metal. Residents claim neighbors bombarding them with radiation. A home in Sacramento's South Natomas neighborhood is surrounded by sheet metal, and neighbors are calling it, well, downright an eyesore. The D'Souza family lives in the home on Timberwood Court, and they claim the aluminum pieces are necessary to protect them from unknown neighbors who have been bombarding them with radio waves and making them sick. It's a shield, they say, to protect against radiation because microwave radiation is reflected off of aluminum. So it's protective measure, says resident Sarah D'Souza. The D'Souzas say the bombardment began after the first anniversary of the September 11 terrorist attacks and that the radio waves have caused them health problems ranging from headaches to lupus. They've got photographs, and they've got all this sort of random tin all over their house. Oh, and there's one more thing the U.S. government doesn't want. They say they don't want. They do want weapons in space, but they don't want billboards in space. The Federal Aviation Administration proposed Thursday to amend its regulations as to ensure that it can enforce a law that prohibits obtrusive advertising in zero gravity. Objects placed in orbit, if large enough, could be seen by people around the world for long periods of time, the FAA said. Currently, the FAA lacks the authority to enforce the existing law. For example, outsized billboards deployed by a space company into low Earth orbit could appear as large as the moon and be seen without a telescope. The FAA said big and bright advertisements just might hinder astronomers. Large advertisements could destroy the darkness of the night sky, and I wonder how you would feel if you went out to observe the beautiful stars on a night like tonight, for example, and there went an advertisement for McDonald's or Chicken McNuggets, or worse yet, a whole... I shouldn't pick on McDonald's. It doesn't matter. Any Coca-Cola, you know, just whatever, constantly streaming across the night sky, blotting out the constellations and causing you to be hungry for a burger or whatever. In a moment, we will, as promised, begin taking calls for the balance of this hour. And then at the top of the hour, Dr. Roger Lear. Now, to the phones we go. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello? You're on the air. This is your last chance. Going to say anything? No? Rock it on, then. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, how you doing tonight?
Very well, sir. Thank you.
This is Stephen in West Central Georgia. We've got some wonderful weather here also.
Yes.
And, you know, you always bring up these things that really people don't always think about. But I guarantee you, I would be shocked that our government did not have weapons to defend these high-dollar satellites.
Absolutely.
I mean, would just be absurd to think they did, if you know what I mean.
I exactly know what you mean. I've thought for quite a long time we have weapons in space. How could we not?
Well, your buddy
let's think about the strategic implication of all this for a second, all right? If you've got an ICBM on the ground, you've got to launch it. It's got to go near space anyway and then come down on the enemy. And all that takes time. If you had a weapon already in space, then there's no warning at all, baby. You simply say go. It launches, enters the atmosphere, and without warning, cities disappear. How could they not have that?
You kind of wonder if Reagan's Star Wars project wasn't really carried out at all. You know what I mean?
I think that Star Wars is still underway.
And congratulations on your phone system. It has improved 1,000%.
In what manner?
I can hear you just as clear as the bell on the phone. It's not a low hum anymore. It's just...
Oh, I said, that's right. I went
really
to,
good.
After we talked last, I believe it was you, I went to work on that immediately.
Well, sir, and look here, is your book, The Art of Talk, still available?
The Art of Talk is now almost impossible to get. The hardcore and hardcover version of that is really a collectible now.
Well, the last time I've seen it available was it your buddy C. Crane.
It actually was pretty hardcore in a way. I really I guess I told everything about myself in that thing.
I would really like to get a couple of copies to give away as gifts.
Well, I'd love to say tell you it's available, but it is not, I'm sorry to say. It is now out of publication and rather hard to get. And I did sign a few of them. It was really a nice book. The hardcover edition really was pretty spiffy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How are you doing?
Quite well, sir.
First I want to say they had another special on Discovery Channel the other night about the UFOs, and they're trying to still cover it up and saying that it's a stealth bombers and all that. They're hiding out in there.
So you're telling me it took the skeptics' point of view?
Right. That's what they're trying to say, is all these lights that people are seeing in Arizona and all that is all just these stealth that they're getting out of there without, and people are catching it, and that's what they're trying to blame it, on the military.
Me thinks hogwash.
Yeah. And another thing, if you don't mind me saying, I don't know if it was you or George the other night was saying something about dreams, dreaming something.
Twas not me.
Okay. Well, can I say something about it? Last night I had a dream that an apartment complex got hit by an airplane, and I went outside and looked, and the whole front of the apartments was gone. I mean, it just blowed off of it. It's like the Oklahoma place was done that time.
You don't think that's a premonition?
That's what I was kind of wondering about, because I told my wife about it.
Yes.
She said it's very strange that she's had the same dream.
Now, at this point, I'd be packing my bags, putting up a for sale sign, whatever else. It's bad enough if you have the dream, but if your wife has the same dream.
As a matter of fact, we live in the path of the airport.
Well, then what are you still doing there?
Well, no place else to go, really. But, I mean, we're about, probably about 2 miles from Metro Detroit Airport.
Do me a favor. Send me an email, will you? And give me your real name. That way, I'll be able to identify the fact that your dream, I mean, you might not be around, and the audience would want to know. So
yeah, no
send
kid.
Me an email with your name so I can check your list against casualty lists.
Well, I've got to get my computer going. I'm having a hard time getting that thing online.
Oh,
but
boy.
As soon as I do, I will send you an email, because I'd love to be able to.
You understand my reasoning, right?
I'm
maintaining that two people having the same dream is doomsday.
Something's up that we don't know about.
Yes, and you will at the very least go down, you and your wife, as both having powers of premonition.
Right.
Posthumously honored.
Pardon me?
Honored after you're gone.
Well, that would be appreciated. At least somebody could honor me for something anyway.
Oh, well, all right, sir. You send me that email, and good luck with your computer. I mean, yeah, think about it. Bad enough if you're in the path of an airport and you have a dream that your house is, smashed by an airplane. But then your wife has the same, very same dream. If you're not packing, then baby, you're not listening. From the high desert in the middle of the night under a full moon, a very full moon. This is Coast to Coast AM. Don't forget, top of the hour comes Dr. Roger Lear. On the night of breaking news about Brazil, ending all of the secrecy. That's it, baby. They're done.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
That kind of music will get your blood moving. Good morning, everybody. If your blood isn't moving, just go out and look at the night sky. That's one big full moon. It's just about guaranteed entertainment. We'll get right back to it. I wonder if any of you saw the Google map, the satellite map of Magnolia Park, Florida. It showed what looked like a mothership hovering above 39th Street in the town. I mean, it was quite remarkable, and it went around the Internet. I know some of you have seen it. Nobody in that area reported anything, but the experts say it could have been perhaps no higher than 20,000 feet, and this thing was gigantic. Absolutely gigantic. So was there something really there? Was there something that the camera saw and the people didn't? Or what? Whatever it was, it certainly was weird. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I'm calling from Arizona. My name is Marie.
Yes.
You used to be in agony with your back. What did you do to help yourself?
Well, it still comes and goes, hon. It's not as bad as it was. I take something called Celebrex, and I'm risking probably whatever they say I might be risking, but from my point of view, the quality of life one has with it beats the risk of, you know, whatever.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Right. For me, it worked very well. I suppose everybody's body is different. Of course, that's something you've got to get you've got to go to a doctor, and he's got to approve it for you. But it did help my back. A lot of people have asked me about that. And that's a member of the COX-2 inhibitor group, and there's some controversy about it right now. But I'll tell you, without giving them a free ad, I guess it is in a way, what's not controversial is that it works. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
I have an idea for a gravity buoyancy generator.
A gravity buoyancy generator.
All right. The way this thing would work is it's a vertical chain.
Yeah.
And it's got pill-shaped cells for the links. Like, it would be hollow, probably metal, some heavy material. That would be hollow where they would be buoyant. On one side of this chain, you'd have a tank or a reservoir where the chain would pass through the bottom of it, have a seal at the bottom, and it would force the chain up on one side. And when it has a shiv at the top and a shiv at the bottom.
I'm not clear on what's causing the lack of gravity in lifting something. What is the power that is doing that?
All right. Buoyancy on one side of this chain is pushing up on the chain, and this is a vertical chain, straight up and down.
Yes.
It's on shivs. One side of it is in fluid, and the other side of it would be out of fluid. The fluid side is where the buoyancy is, and it's pushing up on the chain.
All right, but that's a force pushing up. And so, in other words, you're not really defying gravity in any manner.
No, this is actually something that I've talked to physicists about, and they don't see why. None of them has wanted to work on it, but they don't see why it wouldn't work.
Well, I don't see why it wouldn't work either. The question is, what are you proving when you've done it? You're not proving that you've come up with something that will defy gravity, actually.
I'm not trying to defy gravity.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to see. I don't have the finances to build this thing because it's all machine parts and everything, and I don't have the the mathematical degrees and everything to figure out mathematically if this thing would work. I've called the Department of Energy, and they basically said you have to prove it on paper before they would give you any grants to build it.
Well, yes, that's quite true. You might go to DARPA. DARPA is frequently interested in that sort of weird thing. They might go for it.
Well, that's what I was basically trying to get on the air. So
try DARPA.
If it's possible, maybe somebody would do something with it.
Flood the station with calls trying to finance your gravity buoyancy generator.
Do you have a number for it?
Do I have a number for DARPA?
Yeah.
No. I'm sure in, you know, Washington, if you call, you'll get them. Good luck with it anyway, sir. So he thought he'd float that by all of you and see if there are any gravity buoyancy generator investors lurking. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
This is Bill. I'm in Sacramento, California, listening to you on XM.
Yes, sir.
I know you're a busy man, but Thursday's show with George was a pretty interesting one. He had an inventor on the first for the first 30 minutes or whatever it was.
And what had he invented?
Actually, his name was Woody, and he invented a personal flying machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's I guess like a helicopter except without the tail rotor.
Mm-hmm.
Two spinning blades, one going opposite of the other.
Mm-hmm. Had Woody taken off yet?
Yes, he has, actually. They're in production, and they're getting ready to start selling them for $47,000, I think is what it was.
Mm.
And then the other one was he invented, I guess it would be an ultrasound speaker, to where when he points this beam of light, it would turn like an entire wall into a speaker. Or he could point it at a person, and that person would hear the sound, but the person next to him would not hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought you might want to check that out on Streamlink. It was the Thursday show.
Okay. All right. I'll make a point of it. Thank you very much. I've always been in favor of personal flying machines. They have always, and I think they fascinate a lot of people. And why shouldn't we have the freedom of the birds? By now, you would think, 2005, we would have come up with something that would equate to a personal flying vehicle. Now, of course, we have enough trouble with the paved roads as it is, but still in all, the freedom afforded by such a machine would be just incredible, wouldn't it? I'm sure the death toll would be gigantic, but it might be worth a try. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hi, I was calling. I just heard this guy talking about this gravity thing he had.
That's
but
right.
I had a question, and I actually called last week as well, and I didn't get on. But I wanted to talk to Art about the Gravity Hill phenomenon across the country. I mean, I went to one of these the other day, and I don't understand why it works. And so I looked on the Internet, and I found some other places, you know, all around the country where they have the same phenomenon of where your car pushes itself up a hill, or in this case, somebody told me a bottle would do it as well. And I don't know what, you know, I don't have any idea what it's all about or how it happens.
Nor do I. Perhaps it is related to what happens out here near me in Death Valley. Have you ever heard of the rocks that quite clearly roll themselves across, big rocks, roll themselves across the very bottom of Death Valley?
I haven't ever heard of that.
All by themselves. They've got photographs of the rock trail. I mean, it's not like anybody got out there and pushed them. These babies go all by themselves.
Yeah, and it's very strange. I mean, I've heard people say things like it could be a magnetic field, but I don't even really know what that means, to be honest with you, or how to find out why this happens. Because it's happened, I've done this twice before. Once as a teenager, when I was living in Kansas. And then I had forgotten about it until a few weeks ago when I did this out here where I live in San Bernardino as well. And so it's just a very strange phenomenon to me.
Well, I've often wondered why somebody doesn't go camp out, you know, putting a video camera right on the rocks in Death Valley, as an example, and catching them moving. They move in the middle of the night. And the next morning there's this big trail there. Well, let's catch one of these babies rolling along. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is Bill. I'm calling from the Imperial Valley, too far from you.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm kind of a new listener here, but I caught your thing on UFO sources, and I'm not an enthusiast in it, but I had a friend of mine.
You know what really makes you enthusiastic, sir?
What?
seeing one of them. Then you get very enthusiastic.
Yeah, but you know, the problem is, where do you go to see one?
You don't go somewhere to see one. They come to see you. And, you know, once it happens, you'll begin to get a lot of enthusiasm for what it is.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I grew up on the other side of the coin. I grew up in what you wanted to call a haunted house. So from the time I was born, that kind of stuff was normal for me. But
I see.
UFO stuff, I never really got into. But anyway, I knew this elderly man. I used to collect the early wind-up cylinder machines and phonographs, the Victors, Columbias, Edisons. And around 1970, I'm out here in the middle of the desert wandering around here because I get better reception with the cell phone. Around 1970, I met this elderly man who dealt in these phonographs and stuff. And over the years, we got to be really, you know, good friends and close friends.
I can hear you crunching across the desert.
Yeah. Well, the moon's out. It's beautiful here, you know. It's
yes.
Nice and quiet.
It's just, you know, the pin drop thing. I mean, I can hear the little things crunching under your feet as you walk.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? I'm from New England originally. I'm on an old ranch out here, and there's no phone lines or anything. So I have to use the cell phone.
Okay.
He was like an old historian. He used to dabble in the antiques, and he used to sell antique phonographs and stuff. And we used to just talk about normal things most of our, you know, time together. And then around 1987, I used to stop by a lot because his wife had gotten Alzheimer's, so I'd stop off and see if everything was all right. And when I went in one day, he came down the stairs, and he was shaking his head, and he was all upset over something, and I couldn't figure out what his problem was because I never saw him like that before. And he kept saying he just couldn't believe that they put that on TV last night. And I didn't know what it was, and I kept saying, what do you mean, upset over what, Jim, on TV? And he said, did you see that television show last night, that Mysteries thing? And that was the one with Robert Stack?
Uh-huh.
And I said, yeah, which one on there? Because, you know, they have a couple of them. And he said, the thing on flying saucers. Well, I almost fell over backwards because in all the years I knew him, he never brought anything like that up before.
And the bottom line to all of this, he saw something like what was on TV, I take it.
Well, no. What happened was, I guess it was his brother or brother-in-law was in the Army. And back in 1947, I think that's when it happened, this Roswell thing.
Mm-hmm.
His brother or brother-in-law, one of them, had come to him and told him they had found a crashed ship and some bodies out in the desert. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much more they talked about because he had to get back up there with his wife. But the one thing that he said was that his brother or brother-in-law had told him is, whatever you do, make sure that you don't mention this to anybody, or you or your family will disappear. And he told him this about the government coming in and taking him. And Jim, all these years, since 1947, evidently was so scared that he never told another person about this or said anything about it until he saw it on TV.
But you, on the other hand, are not afraid to call a nationwide talk show crunching along in the desert and tell about it, huh?
Well, you know, I heard your show, and you know, I'm sure that there's people out there that, you know, get into this, you know, an awful lot.
Oh, you can bet there are, sir. Thank you very much. And there are people who also make that very same claim, that indeed a saucer crashed, and its occupants and the saucer itself and whatever was left were all transported first to another part of Texas and then to Wright-Patt Air Force Base, where God only knows what was done with them. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Turn your radio off, please.
Yes.
Yes. Good. Now,
Bell
proceed.
There?
Yes.
Is this Art Bell?
All right. First of all, we're not allowed to put last names on the air, so I had to bleep that out. Let's start all over again just with your first name.
Larry.
Larry, and you're calling from where?
Merkel, Texas.
Okay. What's up?
NASA's Breakthrough Propulsion Program is what it's all about is develop the technology of wormholes, manipulate the gravitational force. I participated in Mark Millis' Breakthrough Propulsion Program. I have a website up on the internet that shows you how to do this. It's called the technology the Egyptians used to build the pyramids. Same thing that Ed was doing down at the Coral Castle. Would you like my web address?
No, we can't give them out. We're not allowed to give them out on the air. If you want to send it to me privately, you're more than welcome to do that, and I'll check it out, and then we'll go from there. But too many times we have been fooled, to be honest with you, and websites given out have led to, well, things that youngsters ought not see, so we don't do it anymore until we have checked it out.
Your address.
What is my? I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com or Art Bell at AOL.com. Feel free to drop me a line and I'll investigate it. Be happy to investigate it and go from there. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Quite well.
This is Jerry calling from Anchorage, Alaska.
Yes, Jerry.
Well, I remember it was 2003 or 2004, you had a lady that was living at the top of the mountain in Phoenix, where she had seen it, the underbelly of the Phoenix lights.
Yes, of course.
And I was just wondering, did they ever get a statement from her, official statement, that she actually saw the belly of this?
Oh, sir, they took official statements from all kinds of people in Phoenix. It's not like it, and it wasn't just Phoenix either. People keep calling it Phoenix lights. Actually, they traversed quite a bit of territory, and there were gazillions of witnesses.
I finally remember the interview, but she said it was three football fields wide. Is that a correct statement?
That kind of sounds about right.
Wow. And this is leading up to the story that's going to be the top of the air about UFOs.
Well, not exactly. We're going to talk about what has happened in Brazil, and the synchronicity of what we're doing tonight is that Brazil suddenly, today, announced they're going to just open up all their UFO files to the world.
Well, I'm looking forward to the show, sir.
All right, take care. And you know, it's worthwhile because an awful lot has happened in South America, and the South Americans are not nearly so quiescent on the subject of UFOs as are we. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Turn your radio off. Turn your radio off, sir.
This is Melvin in Orange, Texas.
Yes, Melvin.
Is Art Bell?
Is Art Bell what?
Are you Art Bell?
What do you think?
Well, I'll say yes.
About all right. Well, you're right.
All right. About 3 weeks ago, you made a statement that if somebody built a free energy device, they would be rich.
That's right.
Well, I have built one and did improvements on three others.
Well, where is it?
The device I made first is at Electric Spacecraft Journal.
Well, where is it?
Where's what?
Your electric spacecraft.
The device is at the Electric Spacecraft Journal workshop.
It is.
The article I sent them was entitled "Electrolysis of Water by Electrostatic Impact." Anyway, basically what you do is you break water into hydrogen and oxygen and produce power in the process.
Yes, I've heard that could be done.
Well,
and you're claiming what, that you have done
it? Well, I got 10 milliamps of current from it.
10 milliamps. Do you know how little that is, sir?
Across the 5-ohm resistor.
It's a very tiny amount of power.
I know, but
you've got to demonstrate kilowatts and kilowatts of power. However, a small amount of demonstrably, essentially free power is a qualifying demonstration. So, as usual, I will say to you what I say to everybody else who makes a claim like you do. Show me the toy. Show me the small anything that's using, producing more power than it's using. Forget absolute free energy. Forget that. I'll take a device that simply has more output than input and keeps on trucking. Anybody? Remember, a toy would be all right.